bit of instruction here. As we begin to sing in the Spirit from time to time, and I believe that those that God has given you this ability, you should cultivate that ability. Just like you pray in the Spirit every day, if people get to don't pray in the Spirit every day, after a while, they get to they can hardly pray in the Spirit anymore. And sometimes I haven't found praying in the Spirit for years or for many months. We need to keep a love life with Jesus cultivated. You need to cultivate praying in the Spirit. We need to cultivate singing in the Spirit. And we're kind of losing that. And we need to go beyond the stage where there's a tension and just a little bit of the kind of the lower levels, you know, we're kind of dipping in and out of it, to a place where those who can do it and move right into it will move right in freely, unabandoned, right into the full-fledged singing in the Spirit, and not spend all the time down here at the edges of it, but just let yourself go and go into it. Now, if we have 400 people praying in tongues and 200 singing, then the 400 drown out the 200, you don't hear any songs. So when we begin to sing in the Spirit, if there's 400 of you that can't seem to be able to, you should bring your praying down to just a whisper. So only the 200 stand out. Now as the 200 stand out, the others will be able to keep joining them, adding to them, until all 600 or 800 or whatever it is singing in the Spirit. And so let's be sensitive about that. This is a training center. And just for future understanding, I'm not saying that every time we're singing in the Spirit, we don't want to cultivate any kind of a rut. But God wants us just to praise Him, unabandoned praise Him. And there are times when the Spirit, and I felt tonight before the message, I just felt that if the people would just, those that could, would just release the Spirit and begin to sing unabandonedly in the Spirit, that God could begin to sweep across this congregation. Now, as we praise Him and pray individually, and we're all praying something different, there's a lot of vertical individual worship under the Lord. And we can only go a certain length of time that way because of necessity for horizontal edification. But if we all get singing in the same heavenly choir, then you are being mutually edified, and as one block being vertically edified, because there's a congregational singing in the Spirit. And because you're adding music to the words, even the visitors and others who are unable to enter in to maybe the prayer and praying in the Spirit, yet there's an edification that comes just from the music part of it. Even without the knowledge of the word, just the music part of it, and you can let it flow a while. And I think that we'll want to do this. We're getting larger, getting new people in, and many don't know these things. And I think some of the others have kind of let the thing drop a bit. But all is so wonderful just to praise God in the Spirit, just to sing in the Spirit. It's a music all of its own that is so wonderful. And by and by, we'll be experiencing that joy in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just stay in the atmosphere of worship unto the Lord tonight. And this is body ministry. Just exhort and testify and sing. Bring whatever God has brought to your heart, as long as it's uplifting and edifying and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No one hold back.
We are exhorted in God's Word to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And about 2 months ago, God revealed something to me in this area that I'm going to share with you now, because I think it's going to be a help to all of you in living in this secular world out here and being effective for Jesus in this workaday world. This is while I was working at the Boeing Company, and I was in my prayer closet at home after work one day, and I was seeking God for greater holiness and godliness in my life, and I wanted to be more like Him. And I was praying that He'd reveal to my mind how I could be more like Jesus Christ, and how I could have more power of God in my life, and how I could be meeker and holier and more godlike, more loving, more like Jesus in every respect. And I was waiting on God, and it came to me, verbalize what you do have to the heathen down at Boeing. And that is what God brought into my heart. That was a step that He had for me to take. Now, I understood immediately what the Lord meant, because I had been witnessing at blank. In fact, I had witnessed to everyone that I worked with in my shop, and I'd witnessed to many that I didn't work with but that I had contact with, but there were many who I had contact with that I had not said anything to. And I knew that what God was telling me and what God was revealing to my heart was that there needed to be more of a natural overflow of my relationship with Him. There needed to be a bringing forth verbally, a verbalization of my relationship with Him to these ones that I had brief contact with, that there'd be a light shining forth in such a manner that they might see my good works and glorify and bring glory to my Father who's in heaven. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 16, and I'll explain this to you a little more fully. You see, what I was doing was compartmentalizing my spiritual life without realizing. I had my witnessing in one compartment, and I had my relationship, my personal relationship with God, in another compartment. And I was unconsciously keeping those two compartments separately. When I witnessed to somebody, usually what I would do would be to just approach them straight out and say, has anyone ever told you about Jesus Christ and what He can do for you? And I'd just begin to witness to them. And that was fine, but if I didn't have time to bring them the whole counsel of God, to bring them the whole plan of salvation, I wouldn't say anything. Because in my mind, I thought, well, if I don't bring out enough to make it clear, they're not going to relate to it or understand it anyway, and it's not going to do any good. And so my job was an oiler. I'd go around pouring oil in machines. And I'd come up to the machine, there'd be a machine operator there working on the machine, and it'd be a, hi, how are you, conversation. And I'd look at the gauges on his machine, and if they needed oil, I'd pour in the oil and be on my way. And so I knew that there was more I could do than that. At this time, when I was praying, when I was seeking God for a revelation of deeper holiness and godliness, this is what He brought to me, was to verbalize the relationship that I already had. As I go around from machine to machine, I can honestly say, I had the glory of God in my soul. And I was in communion with God. And I was in touch with God. But there were many things that I did not do around those machinists. I did not swear. I did not smoke. I did not manifest anger or depression or any of these things. I was happy and I was up in God. And they could see that. And that kind of a life would confirm whatever verbiage was brought forth, whatever you would say to them about the Lord Jesus and what He has done for you and what He could do for them would be confirmed by that manner of life. But the manner of life by itself, without the verbiage, doesn't do them much good because they can't make the connection. So it says in Matthew, I haven't turned to it myself yet, so I better do that. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men, it says in the King James, that they may see your good work and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Or it may say which is in heaven. But in the NAS it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And this is the key, is letting your light shine in such a way. And what I found out was is that this in such a way includes verbalization. And so I knew, you see, the Lord not only showed me what I needed to do, but He showed me how to do it. And that was this, that as I had God's Spirit and God's glory inside of me, and I did, and I rejoiced in it, that when I would approach the machine and approach the machinist who was using the machine, and he'd ask me the typical question of, how are you? You know, how are you doing today? What's new? I would give him a completely honest answer. And so, I come up to a machine, and he'd say, well, how are you today? And I said, I am wonderful. I've got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me, and I know Jesus is my Savior, and I'll tell you, I've known Him for 7 years, and my life has never been the same since. Every day is a new, wonderful, fresh day to me. Every day I've got the glory of God in my soul. My life is wonderful, and that's how I am. And there was a power in those words. Because the Spirit of God was with me, and the Spirit of God was upon me, and I did this with just about every machine that's in the shop. I can't think of any that I didn't do it to in the course of the last couple of months here that I was at Boeing. I'm no longer going to be working at Boeing now. I didn't know that until here just recently, but I praise God that He did this while there was still a chance. I didn't know at that time that I only had a short time left there. But he really taught me something in this. And in all that time, I never had one person laugh at me. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you that if you do the same thing, no one will ever laugh at you. Because they laughed at Peter, and they laughed at Paul. And those men had tremendous power of God in their lives. But there's something about words that come forth from a heart that is filled with God's Spirit and filled with the love of God. There's a power behind those words. But when you know God, when you know God's will, you speak forth the Word of God, the men are impressed, and they were impressed. And the thing that I found out in doing this, and a lot of times I would only have just a very brief amount of time, and I wasn't able to share the whole counsel of God, and I wasn't able to witness to them fully, I wasn't able to tell them the whole plan of salvation. But I began to build up a reputation around Boeing. I had a route where I went around plant 2 with an oil cart and oiled all these machines. I went all through the machine shop, and I began to build up a reputation as a man of God, and people knew who I was. People began to ask me questions, and as there was more time, over a course, it builds as time goes on. Over the course of a matter of weeks, I had opportunity in most cases to eventually, at some time or another, give them a full testimony. Give them the whole counsel of God and to witness to them. And so I wanted to share this with you because it was something that came to me in a different way and in a new way, something that I hadn't realized before, that you can be effective as a witness for Jesus Christ even if you don't have time in every case to give a full testimony. There is enough there that they can see your life. They can see that you've got something real. And as you verbalize just a little bit of it, you let them know that you know God. And they say, well, what's new? And you say, what's new to me oftentimes? And I say, God's love is new to me every day. My relationship with God is fresh every day. And God's Spirit cleanses me every day, just like a mountain stream coming down and just cleaning me and refreshing me. And that's why I'm happy all the time. You notice that I'm happy all the time? Yeah? I've noticed that. And I said, there's a reason for it. I said, God lives within me. And I'll tell you, the opportunities will come. And so I would exhort you to, there's two steps to this thing. There's two steps. The first step is to be sure that you do have a dynamic and a real relationship with God. Be sure that you are walking in the Spirit, that you do have a communion with God, that you do have the glory of God in your soul. And having that, you can share it. Now, the second step is to verbalize it. Now, I'm not saying that you should wait until you're in some ideal spiritual place before you can witness. You can witness and you can tell people about Jesus Christ even if you're not walking and know you're not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. But to do this particular kind of sharing that I'm talking about, it's important to have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. It's important to be filled with all the fullness of God, because if you fill a cup with water, you know that you can fill a glass or a cup with water so full that the water actually sticks up above, about that far up above the cup. There's just something about the molecular structure of water where it'll hold itself together, and you can get a glass that full to where the water actually sticks up about that far above the cup. When you've got a cup that full, and that's how full God wants us to be of His Spirit and of His love, when you've got a cup that full, it just takes a small tap to spill some of that water over into the empty cups around it. Praise the Lord.
When the pastor invited us this morning to speak tonight, the elders and the ministers to come up, and he said to share what's on your heart, where are we today? And where are we going? Just where are we positionally as far as the leading of the Spirit is concerned? Where is the church? And I don't know the full impact of his question, but it was I thought it would be a lot easier to say where we're not than to say where we are. We're not in heaven yet. We know that. And we're not the perfect bride of Christ ready for the rapture momentarily. I know that we're not there yet. But I know that we're getting a lot closer than we've been in the past. I know that we're a lot closer this week than we were last week to that place in Him where God wants us to be. And I'm looking with anticipation to what the answers are going to be tomorrow and next week and the following week, because I know that we're coming to that place in Him. We're beginning to speak the same thing. We're not speaking the same things yet. Well, we're not. We don't have the same ideas and interpretations and understanding yet. But we're coming into it. We're listening to the anointed teacher that God has given to us, and we hear Him, and we hear Him, and we hear Him, and sometimes He has to repeat over and over again. And finally, we begin to get the message, and we start speaking the same thing. We all come from so many different backgrounds and so many different philosophical and religious backgrounds, and we come with our prejudices and our ideas, and even those of us who are in the eldership, we've come from different religious backgrounds, philosophical backgrounds, and we've come with different interpretations and ideas, and we don't know quite how to reconcile it. This is the way I see it, this is the way I see it. But as we listen and as we share our hearts and listen to the Word of God through the anointing teaching of God's Word, find ourselves beginning to speaking the same things, saying the same things, more and more alike. The views are not so divergent anymore. We're coming into unity. We're coming into oneness in Him, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit until we come to the unity of faith, and we're coming to that unity of faith. And I recognize one of the biggest stumbling blocks and one of the biggest hindrances to coming into that unity is this philosophical, religious, or other prejudices and rules and regulations that we have learned in the past. And it's hard to put those things on the shelf and try to find out what the mind of God is. Paul recognized that, and the Colossian church had troubles in this area. Notice in the second chapter of the book of Colossians, don't take time to open your Bible, I'm just going to read very rapidly. But in the second chapter, verse 20, Paul says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? That is, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using." Why are we so caught up with these things? Why are we so caught up with these rules and regulations? Why are we so caught up with, this is the way it is, and this is where we're going to draw the line, and this is it, and this is it, and so forth. And then he said, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Then verse 23 says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. It has value. Bodily exercise profiteth little. There is some value in it, humility and so forth, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Then he goes on to the third chapter, verse 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Therefore we need to seek for our answers, not in the ordinances of man, but in the heart and the will of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Do you have a question? Is there something turmoil in your heart and your mind about just what is the answer? I need to know. I need to understand. Well, find the heart of God and you'll know and you'll understand. For if you be dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Now we... In learning the heart of God, we're listening to a lot of teaching, and we try to find answers, and we have urged people to seek out counsel. When you don't know the answers, seek out counsel. And most of you have been very obedient in this thing. You seek out counsel, say, now what's the answer here, and so forth. I heard someone say some time ago, said, well, I didn't know what the answer was according to the Word of God. And I still don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the Bible says. But so-and-so said, this is the way it is, so I'm going to believe and walk in it. Well, that's fine. That's better than walking in your own way. and get counsel and wisdom. Go to someone who does feel that does have a heart of God and get the answer to it. But you know, what I'm trying to say is we're coming to that place in unity in Him when we so understand the heart of God that we know what the answer is before we go to the counsel. And we might go to the council and say, well, this is the way I feel. This is what I think is the heart of God in the matter. What do you think? And the pastor or the elder will say, well, yes, that is the heart of God. He'll know the answer, see. And it won't have all these problems and these turmoils and so forth. And then Paul goes on. After he said, we're going to see him when affect your affection on things above and so forth. Then the fifth chapter begins to lay down some laws again. And I don't know why he's doing this. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. And then he starts laying down some rules and regulations, and he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, etc., etc. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. If you don't obey what we say, then you're going to have wrath of God upon you. And the verse 7, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now ye also put off these things. Now some more commandments. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, and on down. And he goes over and gives some perspectives and so forth. And then verse 14, it says, above all, put on some things. Put on charity, which is a bond of perfection. Put on perfect love. And perfect love casteth out all fear. We know that God is love. And if we're filled with God, we have love and so forth. But why is he saying all these things? Why is he saying not to be caught up in the ordinance of man, and then he turns around and starts giving some instruction? Well, what he's trying to do is give some instruction on what the heart of God is really saying. What does Scripture say? What do the Scriptures say? What is the heart of the thing? Not is thou shalt not and thou shalt and so forth, but what is the heart of God? What is God really trying to say? And then in verse 15, he said, let the peace of God. Let it come in. This let is the allowing. There's an old English word, let, which we know means to hinder. But in this context, and in this word, this is a translation in the present English. Let allow the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with a grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This is the answer. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about thou shalt. All this Paul says, flee from fornication. Well, you'll flee from fornication. This is, he's saying, here's the law, now here's the heart, and so forth. And we'll know what the heart is. I'm so thankful for the teaching that we're getting and what we're in this present situation that we're in. We're hearing instructions on Sunday morning concerning divorce and marriage, and the pastor has said that how difficult this is, that you can't go to the Word of God and say positively, this is the one answer that fits every situation. And it is a difficult thing. And I know in my background, we've had these questions have come up, and it's been so difficult to answer. We've had this situation. We've tried to draw some rules and regulations. Now, this is the Word of God. This is the way. This is what we've decided to do. And then something will come up, find out that we've got to make an exception in this particular situation because it doesn't exactly fit. And so okay, we made the exception. But from here on out, this is the way it's going to be. And then here comes another situation. We have to make an exception again. But we're coming to the place where we know, we're going to know what the heart of God is in the matter. I've heard so many testimonies. Someone has said that from these series of lessons we've got, I'm beginning to see what the heart of God is. I'm beginning to understand now what God is trying to say. And someone else testified in the chapel just this last week. One young man said, I thought I didn't love my wife anymore. I thought that all love is gone. It's just gone past, and I didn't love her anymore. And I just thought that was just something that is natural to come upon me, and it's just something I couldn't help. But I came to realize that was a lie from the devil. Well, I can understand if that's a lie from the devil, because that's the way I felt. Truly, I felt that way. There's no lie about that. I don't love my wife. And then again, the word of God came to him, the heart of God came to him. Well, that's a lie. You do love your wife. So he began to say, well, I love my wife. He began to practice it and began to work upon it and telling her that he loved her and started just kissing and hugging and saying how much I love you and so forth. I didn't feel it, but I did it and so forth. So as he began to act upon the truth of the Word of God, began to act on the heart of the thing, then he began to find out he really did love his wife. Now he's really in love, he said in his testimony. And I'm so glad for testimonies like that. And I want to hear some more testimonies like that. I know we're going to hear more testimonies like that. How God is bringing us together. And the marriage relationship is such a perfect example and illustration of the unity of the body. And if we can get the heart of God in this matter, then we know that we're going to get the heart of God in the broader concept of the unity of the body of Christ. If we understand what God is trying to say in this question, then we'll know for sure what God is trying to say as far as the body is concerned. Then we're at a place right now. I think that these series of lessons are just timely. I think they're just right on time, just at a time that we need it to say, okay, here we are. We're going on from here. We've got that behind us. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go up into that higher place that we've been hearing so much about. Thank God.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's three things in my heart. I don't suppose I'll get them all out, but should have got two of them said 2 weeks ago, I guess. But the first one is that last week, real impact in my life concerning what we were talking about at the beginning of the service about singing in the Spirit. In Colossians 3:16, you don't have to turn there, but it mentions very emphatically, two other people have talked about this verse, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I was teaching a music ministry, and let me finish reading it. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I was teaching about entering in the services, and Friday then we made the dedication to the Lord, and in a new way I saw a place to stand in God in an absolute freedom and an absolute peace in my heart. And it came along with a message in my mind and heart about singing in the Spirit. And my mind is a rather active mind, and people that have come out of old life of drugs, they say that my mind acts somewhat like somebody who's on speed pills. Well, that isn't exactly a wonderful thing. So, I don't like, whenever I'm doing something, whatever I think, I want it to, you know, happen. Like that. And one of the things that just used to frustrate me so much was when I would call up some business or call up the church and try to get something done I need to get done right then, and to get put on hold, it would just be so hard on my flesh. And, but you know, the telephone company got smart, and some places you call, you know, at first you're talking to a nice receptionist, pretty voice, easy to talk to. Then, instead of getting worse, it gets a little better. They put you on hold, and all of a sudden you hear this music come floating across the telephone. You sit there listening to this music while, you know. Well, that's kind of what happened in my mind. It's like, I just made this decision to just keep singing in the Spirit. And so whenever my mind isn't needed to get what is at hand to be done, I just put it on hold and start in the Spirit in my heart. And it's just fantastic what's happened in the 2 days since I decided to do that. I just can hardly believe. Roy was talking about getting the heart of God, and it's like the attitudes that we need are, of course, right there in the Spirit, just like Don preached to us on Friday night. And the Spirit within us is willing to enter into those things all day long, all the time. And we need, like George said, to have that bubbling forth, overflowing. And you know, it goes with another concept that In the Hebrew, the word to prophesy is to bubble forth. And in the Bible, in heaven, it says that we're going to have harps. And it's so wonderful to just all day long let the Holy Ghost be playing that music on your heart, on the harp of your heart, you know. It goes along with bubbling forth. Actually, when we speak of harps, it refers back to when, for example, Elisha had the harpist play, and then the word of the Lord came on Elisha, and he brought forth the word of the Lord in the situation. So it went with the prophetic ministry. But we're becoming, as a body, that mouth of Christ in this age, that word of God to this age, that living epistle. And out of it is that living word needs to be bubbling forth. And many times we think of the specific concept of God's word, but God's word is really one. It's really one. It's God's heart, God's mind. It's God is one, and His word is one. And all of that nature of God is His word, is reflected in His written word. And when we're in that place, plugged into the Spirit, as Roy was saying, if each one of us will continue to plug into that place and stay there, plugged in to the Holy Ghost in the inner man all day long, we're going to see the pieces fitting together so much more efficiently in the Spirit of God than we would if we would go by the power of the flesh or the power of the mind. You cannot accomplish it all in that place. Much has to be done, it's true, in that area. Just like when you call up the bank or whatever, you have to do business with the clerk. But much cannot be accomplished in the Spirit except there be that heart and that flow from the Spirit of God Himself.
Ministries and song will fit right in beautifully between these exhortations. I believe that there's a stirring in the womb. There is. There's a stirring. There's an invisible church that is in the hearts of each one. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. The invisible kingdom is within you. Someday we shall be a visible kingdom. And there's a stirring going on in the visible church, inside, in the womb. There's a profound change that is taking place and must take place for the church of Jesus Christ to triumph and come to that place where it is one with God. We must extricate ourselves from the thinking that Christianity is what we have seen out here in the world, that is normal Christianity, that is the pattern. That is not the pattern. We must recognize that we are in a changing process and a growing up process, and we must not be satisfied with staying in kindergarten all of our life, or in the first grade or the second grade. We have to grow in God. This means as we get new concepts, we look at everything all over again and begin to change the pattern of our life. But we will never be able to change the pattern of our life to what it should be, so we're going to have to let God change it to what it should be. Roy mentioned the fact that we're not all speaking the same things yet. Now, theologically, as far as the main doctrines, yes, most of us are. But it has to go a lot deeper than that. The problem is we don't yet understand one another's hearts. We there's too much suspicion. There's too much, we're at different levels. We can't seem to relate. There's some problem areas that just seem to baffle our minds. The problem is only going to be actually and fully solved as we begin individually to move in the Spirit in a body so that it becomes a collective move. So that there is a breaking down of barriers. So the Spirit will begin to work on us until we begin to see through revelation eyes. We begin to discern things in spiritual ways. We begin to see things as God sees them, because God knows and sees every heart in the right perspective. And we begin to do that, and one of the most difficult problems, I think, is probably seeing yourself. It's so difficult. I think that we are much different beings than what we really fancy ourselves to be. And it means that we have to come to a place of brokenness before God. Because the pride of our life, The superego, as it's called sometimes, is so super. It's so strong. It's so dogmatic. It's so self-protecting that we can't let our barriers down long enough to really look inside and see who we really are. And it hinders our life. It hinders our relationship. But this relationship, there is a marvelous, mystical relationship. And we have a love for one another that's rather astounding and amazing. We have to admit that. Here we've come from all different walks of life. And most of us can say, and perhaps not all of us, but we feel a love for each other in the main that is greater than for our own relatives that are not in the faith. And there's a love that's a genuine love for people you don't even know too well. And it's only God's Spirit that has put us in this place. And as God begins speaking His Word, as His Word comes forth, we begin speaking the same things. There are people who have immediately, this immediately bothers, because as He really brought forth the point, well, now, God has called me to be the pastor of this church. And a pastor is? A pastor is one that feeds, poimen, to feed, to shepherd, to feed, to lead. Well, that bothers people. I mean, that bothers the flesh. Why should he lead? Well, why should he lead? I don't know. I don't know. But that's what he said. Father said. Father said. And you know, all you little kids know that when daddy says, that's it. He called me by his grace and set me in the ministry for some reason. Maybe inexplicable reason, but it's his mind. Now, the thing is, as I begin to give out the word of God over a period of months and years, people do begin speaking the same thing. The Bible college teachers begin teaching what I teach, and the students begin teaching it, everyone's teaching it, and most people rejoice in it and have no trouble. But there are a few people, and you should take your temperature here, because your heart's not right. But there's a few people that this bothers. Why should we all speak to... I believe, sure, we should all speak the same thing. We all agree to that. But why should we speak the same thing to what he says is what I want to know. How can we all have to line up with what he says? See, that bothers pride. That bothers the natural man. Now, if I am preaching my peculiar ideas, if I am speaking that which I have gained by listening to the teachers in school and reading the billboards and the magazines and the television and all the rest and talking to people and thinking and rationalizing, then there is no reason that you should all think what I think. None at all. There's no reason you should speak what I speak. If I am preaching the Word of God carefully and God is leading me to speak His words, and they're not my words but His words, then you should have no trouble lining up to it, because they're not my words anyway. And then if you spoke the same thing that I spoke, we'd all be speaking the same thing that he speaks. And then there's no problem. So you'll have to be the judge as to whether I am being faithful and true to the Word of God, or whether I'm twisting it and bringing in things that are not according to the Word of truth. But you cannot measure that properly unless you're in the right place in the Spirit, too. You have to be in the right place in your heart, or you will not be able to see it. And I feel that there is a profound change coming in my ministry. I've been feeling this for the last few weeks, and it's kind of a change of necessity. I haven't grown weary in well-doing. Day by day, I have a lot of pressures upon me to get a lot of things done, and I get these envelopes. We keep them coming back and forth from the office, and they're jammed with inputs from all different departments, and the things like make a decision on this, and what are we going to do about this, and this has come up now, and we've got a problem here. I don't have any... I don't wake up with a feeling, oh, I've got to go through all that decision-making and problems. In fact, to tell you the truth, there's an anticipation many times, a great deal of the time. These envelopes are kind of like grab bags, you know. You never know what's in them. They're not all lollipops and all that type of thing. But many times, two or three times a day, oftentimes, at least a couple, we'll get these. I get these envelopes in. I keep them going back and forth, and And it'll be sitting there, and I have a hard time leaving that envelope going till tomorrow, even, see. And I'm not a naturally curious person. My wife will tell you, I can have an envelope addressed to me, and I can leave it sit there. I'm doing something else. I can have a present, and I can just leave it sit for weeks. If it's, the time hasn't come, it's not a bother to me. I can turn off any program in the middle of it. I can close any book in the middle of it, practically. I don't have that. And I can hear half of a gossip about something or some juicy story, and I can turn it off and walk away. I do not have that natural probing curiosity. I do in the Word, but in life. And yet, I look forward to my day in the ministry, although there are certain things that make it difficult, you know, like there isn't anybody's job. But I have been giving out and 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 giving out. And I have groaned inside of me, really, and wanting to be able to really get fed from some men of God that I feel are getting revelations of God and what God is doing and so forth. And every time we go out, I'm so disappointed. I can't seem to find anybody who can really get something, you know. And I just keep giving out, and I just kind of feel like I need a refreshing, you know. And I haven't gone really well doing, but the feet have been making a rut, you know, and the trench is getting deeper on both sides. But I feel a change coming in my heart, and I see something I'm not going to tell you about right now yet until a little bit later, but I think I see something ahead that's going to help. I think I see one of the answers coming up in one way. And be praying, if you will, because I believe that there's a change coming in my ministry. Because I've been hit very, very hard physically, and this last week has been extremely difficult again. I've had more pain this last week than I've had for quite a while again. And I'm going to be getting away next week for a week or so. But I'm asking the Lord to do a refreshing work and a new work, just to come down and refresh me. And I want to bring forth from the Word of God some new truths and the revelations that are going to really do something for this body. But I kind of sense that the Spirit is kind of saying, well, now, the people have been under a lot of pressure and from the devil and from life, you know. And you've been in your individual ruts, too, a lot of you, you know, and study, work, you know how it goes. But I feel that the Lord is saying they not only need new hope and new life, but there's got to come a place where they will lay aside the hindrances and the weights and begin to live above them and walk above them and pray above them and see above them and think above them. And as the Lord said in the message tonight, not just look don't look at yourself and look at yourself and see if you can praise the Lord, but look at me and see if you can praise me. And I believe that God is calling us to quit looking at ourselves, quit defending ourselves, quit champing our cause, quit struggling with ourselves, quit trying to work out our own salvation and work out this whole ministry, but begin to see God and begin to love Him and praise Him and just go out and radiate Him and let it shine. Let the light go forth and just sing His praises and walk above the world. And if the old bodies are hacking in the coffin, between the hacks, you're praising Him, see? Now, that's right. And you can be limping along, but as you're limping along, be praising Him. And if one arm is all bandaged up, you're moving along, be praising Him. Don't look at the arm, look at Jesus. Now, I really feel that God is telling us this. And if there's somebody here and they're doing this, and say, I don't know if I can minister anymore because he's doing that, don't look at him. Look at him. And move out. And I feel like the Lord is saying in the measure, now we've gone over a lot of things, and we've taught a lot of things, and I've been trying to do a lot of things, but if the people will begin to look at me and will quit looking at themselves, then I'll begin to do some new things in you that they'll be ready for, but they can't handle them because they're so bogged down, they wouldn't even know what the revelation was. They're not at a place to even implement it. They're so bogged down with their workaday world and their life and their dorm life and their family life and whether the husband loves the wife and the wife loves the husband or not and the relation with the kids and everything else, that they can't really handle the messages that God wants to give. And they're kind of up in a big package, just waiting for us to do what He's asked us to do for so long. Quit looking at us. Quit looking at one another. Quit looking at the problems. You know, people get, you know, see, if you get working with one another, you know what happens? We have trouble in interpretation. We do. I mean, as sweet as we all are, you know how sweet we all are? As sweet as we all are, we have trouble in interpretation. And the little things that bother. The way a person comes in and he says a certain thing, you know, well, why did he say it that way, you know? And, of course, he didn't really mean it the way, you know, but we have problems in these areas. And we do have things that we mean that aren't good, too. Quitting, you know. Well, he's not supposed to be over me, and then he thinks he's over me, and I'm not, and so forth. And I don't know why he makes it. Well, he writes his quit notes to me, and this person here, they came and the way they're doing, they're kind of taking over halfway my job, and I don't think they should be. You see, and we're really in the wrong place. It isn't our job; it's God's job. God will vindicate you. God will protect you. God will take care of you. God will do what needs to be done. You know, we don't have to quit. We fight too hard for our ministry and for our life. And for ourselves. And if you quit fighting for yourself, God will preserve you. He'll see that you get exalted. If you humble yourself, he'll exalt you. But if you fight for yourself and your own, you know, you may find yourself going down and down and down. And I have a spiritual conviction that if we quit trying every man to hold his own flag up and just hold up Jesus and walk and not kill and nobody kill and don't care what he says, don't worry about him, your very attitude will spill back on him this way, and then he won't begin acting that way because he won't feel right in acting that way around you. But when you hold your own, then he's got to hold his own to protect him. He's got to protect himself because you're protecting yourself. And if we all were disarmed, you know, unilateral disarmament here, if we're all disarmed, things will go better. And I feel that there's a turn, there's a change just around the corner. And I'm seeing some good things, and I'm encouraged in the Lord, and I'm encouraged with the body. But can we hear the words of the Lord? Will we open our ears to the Spirit and say, Lord, you have told us, don't look to yourself. Don't look to man. Don't fear man. But fear the Lord and look to God. And let him be your good pleasure. And no matter what problems the world might bring, and it has surprise problems around the corner, and he says the evil is sufficient for the day, so don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. And if we just cast our care upon the Lord, really, and just sing through the problems of life, just praise the Lord no matter what's happening, and keep your eyes upon Jesus and his promise and what he is going to do, and the good that he's doing, the other will take care of itself in time. And it'll drop off and seem less important. And it'll shrivel up, become an appendage. We just need... to begin to have a freshness of God. And that only comes by looking at God and not at one another. Please be praying much for the body. Please be praying much for me. Because I'm thinking, I'm trying to reach out and to find this change that God wants for this ministry. Because it's going to affect you. And it's going to reflect upon you. And I need your help. I can sense it by the Spirit. But I don't know exactly what it all is and how to do it all yet. And I know that you're part of the answer. I also know that you're part of the problem. And I'm part of the answer, and I'm part of the problem. So if you'll pray for my problem and for your problem, as I also will, I'm sure that we'll all be part of the answer, because God wants us all part of the answer. Amen.
Can you not see that heart of love And I will surely, for as my own love unto each one. Now my heart is truly longing that my love would flow through you more abundantly. And yea, even this very night, it can begin to flow if you will only yield unto me fully. For surely, I have greater love for thee, and I have greater praises for thee, and I have more abundance of my spirit for each one. But you cannot experience the abundance of your God, lest you step through that door by faith, and unless you would say yes unto me in every area of your life. Oh, my beloved, do not hold back any one thing in your heart from your God, for surely I would have all of thee, and surely my heart would be pleased if you would yield fully unto me this night.
A perfection in our outward walk. That is the thing that's important. But there must be a complete yielding of the heart. God hasn't required that you be perfect and not stumble, and that you know everything, and that you be so strong that you could not resist any temptation. But he has asked that you hold nothing back in your heart. That your heart, you have a clear conscience. God is holy, and if his people won't walk with a holy heart, then God cannot do that he wants to do. There cannot be that freedom, because if your heart is not holy, fellowship is broken with God, and you can't have that free flow of fellowship. Now, he knows that you're weak, and he knows that you're not able to stand certain areas that would come against you if you don't take his strength, but that isn't the thing that worries God, because he knows that if you yield to him your whole heart with your will, even if you're a baby or a little tot, he knows that you'll grow in him. He knows how to teach you. He knows how to feed you from his table in the spirit and lead you to higher heights. He knows how to get you there, but he can't get you there if you hold back any area of your heart, if you isn't a total yielding. He's not worried about your immaturity. He's not worried about your lack of strength. He's not worried about your lack of perfection. It's the lack of willingness that is bothering the heart of God. And God has spoken for long periods of time to Israel and to this church. And have you ever stopped to consider what God's heart is like? What is he thinking as he's looking down upon the body? And as those various ones in the body that are holding back, that won't move out with God, all he asks of you is to open your heart. All he asks of you is to get everything cleared up. Just don't hold anything. Just clean the pipeline out between you and God. Just come to a place where you give up everything, but just say you've got to have God, and whatever he wants is fine. And when you're there, then his spirit will lead you. And it's the walking in the spirit then, as you have the flow and you can praise him, and then God can begin showing you and leading you and teaching you and correcting you and helping you. And he will get us there. It won't be ourselves, but he can't do it unless we'll let him. So I want you to come to that place of decision right now, instantly. It doesn't take but a moment to say in your heart, if there's anything that you're holding back, if there's anything that is not right, get it out of the way. Just decide to give it up, and then yield to God. Just have faith in him and say, Lord, as long as I know that I have surrendered everything, ask all full forgiveness, and I'm going to walk in God, and I'm not going to do anything you don't want me to do, and I'm going to trust you for every area. Now you've got a freedom in God to believe him and yield to him. As we sing this song again, and the way I want the service to go now, in the last few minutes of the service, I want the music ministry to sing again. Lead us in a worship to the Lord. And then as that closes, unless it leads into something else, and we'll leave that passage open, but when it closes, then I want the ushers to come forward, and as we take the evening offering, I want another elder or minister to come that has something on their heart that they've been waiting to bring, and to bring it. So let's sing praises, and let's just say, yes, Lord, and enter right into it, and yield unto the Lord by faith. Amen. Good evening offering. One more elder. I think Mark is spring loaded over there. Come right up.
Amen. Are you turning with me to 1 Peter 5? I thank God for what He is doing. I thank Him for His word, especially tonight. Thank you for His truth. I thank God for what He's putting in my heart, what He's putting in the hearts of those in the assembly. And what I have to share with you is what I feel, and what I see as the will of God and the direction of God and how we're going in this assembly. And this thing has stirred in me so much and continues to, and this year has been a whole new year for me, new life. I feel like a different man, got a different wife, got a different family, new classes. God has been very good. Appreciate His wonderful, wonderful anointing and presence. What I feel to share is this, that out in the church world we're seeing the devil have his heyday. And you'll find a strong man here and a weak man there and a mediocre one here and confusion there and light here and darkness here. And it's just a medley, and there's all sorts and all kinds. You don't find a unified effort. There are men that God is giving them understanding and revelation, but they stand alone. And there are others that are wandering and lost, and there are few that have a shepherd, very few. And I believe that God has brought us together in this place, and He will not allow us to walk in that way. We have in this assembly those that are strong, those that are weak, those that are mediocre, those that know, those that don't know. We're constantly growing, constantly developing. But God has not allowed those that are strong to go way above. He's not allowed those that are weak to go way down. But He's desiring to bring us all into oneness, into a unity, where the strong are bearing the burdens of the weak, and the weak are praying for the strong, and the strong are being examples under the flock. They're going forward, and all are moving right in behind them. There's a submission and an energizing in every heart and soul that got to be manifested. And therefore, we see the anointing of God falling upon us in an unhindered manner because all are yielding under the Spirit of God. And that way, the body itself will all be united, even the weak, and brought up to that place where only Jesus Christ Himself has stood. And we will be one in Him. And I see, therefore, the pains, the birth pains, the desire of the devil to catch us in this most vulnerable spot, where we are joined together and we are not separated and we will refuse to separate. There are many that are strong that can go on in the strength of God and go on and be used of God, but God will not let them be separated from the body. There are many weak that could fall out and become nothing, but God will not allow them to be separated from the body. He wants us to be one in this thing together. And so we're right in the vulnerable spot. The devil will try to defeat and to bring confusion, to bring confusion to those that are strong, confusion to those that are weak, apathy to those that are mediocre. But God wants to build us and temper us all into one, so we are concerned about one another, we can go on in the Spirit of God. So therefore, here we stand. And there's only one way, or a few ways, well, there are a number of ways. But it all comes down to one thing. God has got to do a work in our hearts, to where there, just as we have talked about this purity of heart, purity of motive, simplicity of mind, and desire of heart, where we are totally yielded up to Him, totally yielded up to the Shepherd, totally yielded up to the work of God, to where we will immediately, without question, do exactly what God wants us to do. And that's what I want to mention just here very shortly. We find in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you." Feed the flock of God. And then it tells about the motive to take when you feed. And I believe that God desires us to be fed by those that are over us, the ones that are strong in the Lord. And we read on later, and verse 3 is what I want to especially mention. "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." There's something very humbling about being an example. Jesus found Himself washing the feet of the disciples to be an example. He found Himself ministering to their needs to be an example. He found Himself giving in situations where they wouldn't give to be an example. He found Himself being burned out where the others stood by and they're strong in body and strong in health and strong in other ways, just to be that example. And I believe the call of God this hour is to the elders of this assembly, that we, knowing that God wants an example set over this body of Christ, would seek God with all our hearts, that every word, that every thought, that every action might be anointed and born of the Holy Ghost. Don is the head, shepherd, but there are many that God would raise up in the eldership, and we need to have an unction anointing upon our lives to where there is a constant overflow, and we see it happening. We see it happening in a measure, and we desire more of it. But in order to be examples, how can the people of God go into prayer unless those that are over them go into prayer? How can the people of God go into a brokenness of spirit unless those that are over them are in a brokenness of spirit? So we find that it's a very important thing that we have a great responsibility to those that are over the flock of God, especially in this vital hour that we are faced at right now. But it goes on, and it brings all of us into this. And I'd like to finish here in verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submitting yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He care for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith." And so we find a submission and a humility that brings a strength in God. When we are weak, then we are strong. But the thing I want to point out is that often in leadership, the idea of example and leading and so forth, God is tempering His body together so that all are subject to one another in humility. It says, younger unto the elder. And then it says, yea, all be subject one to another. And that means every one of us, every single one of us, subject to one another in humility. And I see this example carried out in Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2. When it says, in verse 2 and 3. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife nor vain glory. Now, how's all this going to be done? By this next phrase. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. These are the two things that I feel on my heart so strongly in this vital hour. And that is for those that are over to begin in simplicity of mind and heart to feed the flock of God, being examples. They have received the unction of God, the place of God, the heart of God. And I'm speaking about Bible college teachers. All those who are in positions of authority, even those that work in the office, wherever you're in a place of workmanship, even those who are in carpentry, wherever you're over somebody, it doesn't matter where, whatever ministry you're in, to feed the flock of God by being that example, flowing in the Spirit of God that God can use you, and taking that as a responsible position where you must fulfill the heart of the Lord, and therefore seeing and looking only to Jesus, not swayed by the fear of man, but by a heart and love of God and a love for the people under you. And then the other thing, and this should be done with a simple mind, but then the other thing, not that each one of us submit unto one another in all humility, like the Greek says in 1 Peter 5, it says, putting on the servile apron of humility. The servile apron of humility. It was a Greek word that talked about only what a slave wore. He put that on and he'd serve his master. And it says, do all of this towards one another. Be clothed with humility toward one another. In other words, giving your heart toward one another. In lowliness of mind, esteeming other better than yourself. How in the world can we do that? That brother's weak. He's down. He's wretched. He's got problems. I don't have any problems. See, and as soon as you have a heart like that, we got real problems. But the one who is an example to the flock, the one who would feed the flock of God, looks to them and says, there is one for whom Christ died. I can see his problem. I can see his trouble. He doesn't want to be like that. He wants to walk with God. He wants to be like Jesus Christ. But here I am. I've been unwilling. I haven't walked the way I should. My life isn't following the pattern that it should. And yet, God has put within me a love for that brother. Therefore, I will serve him. And what we do is we look at the good in our brother, and yet we're aware of the weakness in ourselves, and it keeps you in a constant state of humility toward your brother, esteeming him better than yourself. Esteeming him better than yourself. Don't look at his problems. Remember, you got a lot of problems. You've sinned. Let him that has no sin cast the first stone. And with that, nobody will carry any stones. All we got is big arms of love to wrap around one another. It doesn't matter who it is. You've got love and concern. You can go up to him and help him. You consider everybody else better than yourself, and you just as a lowly servant, and all you can do is just help. I thank God I've had this burden on my heart this morning. The Lord dropped another part of that into my heart this morning in that sermon. That struck so deep. Deeper than sermons have for a while now here. Well, I guess every week, maybe. Since last week, maybe. Every week they're coming on. But it struck me so much. The desire to help was in my heart so much to help. And yet, the way that God allowed me to help was to reveal my own weaknesses and my own failings and sin. It caused me to come to my knees again and say, oh God, how in the world can I do anything but just cry out for help? Day by day, hour by hour. It seems like I can't even keep a pure motive for 2 seconds. It seems like I can't keep my eyes on you for more than a minute. And yet I know what's going on. God, I cannot be satisfied. Lord won't let me stay where I've been before. He won't let me stay there. I've got to go on. I cannot be satisfied with what I was a week ago. I cannot stay there anymore. I've got to go on. And so I feel the anointing of God, the conviction of God, in my heart, revealing these areas, even though it's itty-bitty little things. Just little insignificant, maybe. They're so important to me. They mean so much to me because it shows that I have not yielded unto God. And so I yield that thing unto God. And I look at my brother and I see him as a saint that Jesus died for and he loves. And I recognize I'm a sinner. And the only thing I can see is just, oh God, if there's any good I can do for him, let me put on the servile apron. If you'll just let me have the grace enough to put on that servile apron, I'll help my brother. I'll serve him and I'll do all I can for him. And I feel that heart of God as it would burn in us. To make us conscious of our needs, to make us conscious of one another, so that the strong are bearing the weak, and the weak are praying for the strong, and the mediocre are going on with God, and we're going to be strong, one body, bound together, the devil can't defeat us. Right now, we're not to that place yet. We're not there, it's kind of in a limbo. But oh my, can you feel the Spirit of God moving us in? Can you see that He's going to bring us there? And so those that are over, begin to humble yourselves down and seek God with all your heart. You're in a responsible place. And the rest of us, let's all just humble ourselves and esteem others better than ourselves. But put on that servile apron of humility and begin to give. See your own weaknesses and recognize that God is your only strength. And see them as perfect in Jesus Christ. He's a child of God before whom Christ died. You haven't got any reason to have any stones in your hand. Go up and love Him. Help your brother. God's going to get us there yet. Amen.
Father, pray, Lord, that each one tonight that have heard these words that have been spoken might recognize that the eternal God, speaking to those that He has called, challenging us to move into higher heights in Him, recognizing the seriousness of the hour and the lateness of the hour, recognizing that the plan of God is waiting upon the children of God, recognizing that in this last hour the world is going down the broad way to destruction, waiting for a Savior to save their souls. Lord, I pray that each one that is here tonight might recognize the need to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, might recognize the need to be one with one another and with God, that each one might begin, as it were, spiritually to wash one another's feet, to serve one another, to not think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, to be slow to heal, slow to speak and quick to heal, that each one might recognize that they are nothing save by the grace of God, with all lowliness and humility of mind, that we might hear Thy voice and as servants of God do Thy bidding. Seek not our own, but to do Thy will. Might not look to ourselves, nor trust in ourselves, but trust in Thy strength. Lord, I pray You'll have Your way tonight in every heart and every life. Jesus, stir Your people to be doers of the word, to recognize in the hour when God calls, the hour of our visitation, that this is the hour when God is depending on His people to hear the words of God and to put them into action, to be the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus. To recognize, Lord, that if we don't, that You'll find those who will. Lord, help us to see, Lord, that the plan of God awaits those that will humble themselves and allow God to move in their life, to empty themselves. Lord, I pray that there'll be a that each will quit defending and upholding and championing themselves and striving with one another. But Lord, will become nothing as it will before thee, and allow you to do that good work, to be broken before you, that you might be all in all, that the love of God might be shed abroad in each heart. Speak, O God, tonight to hearts, convict by the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit might draw men unto you tonight, that you might convict each one that has anything in their life, that you might search their hearts. O God, you might plow up the hearts, that they might be soft for the planting of God, for the seed of the Spirit. Have your way, Lord, tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Come to the piano, please. Lord, I want to pray for Sandy Du Bois. She's in labor right now with child. Keep your hand upon her, Lord. Protect her and give her grace. Give her strength in this hour. Strengthen her, Jesus. Help her, Lord. Comfort her. Protect her. Keep your hand upon her and the child. Lord, we pray also for Lucy Brown, who's in the same position with child. Bless her, Lord, also, and keep your hand upon her. Protect her, Lord. Protect the child. Lord, may there be a blessing coming to her soul, even if she's in labor physically. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray for the whole church that is laboring to bring forth the man-child. Help your church, Lord, when they're laboring. Lord, I pray that we might look up and rejoice and see that all redeeming is drawing nigh. But it won't be long, and no work on my earth will be done, and you'll call us to the other shore. I pray, Lord, we must recognize that what's done for Christ will last, but there's nothing that will last, nothing that's eternal, except what is done for Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that there'll be a softness in every heart. We might walk very softly and circumspectly before you. Lord, may we begin to wait upon you, not just to feel you in our flesh, but, Lord, just to be broken before you, be stripped of self, criticalness, self-opinion. Lord, just to let the love of God flow, just to love you, just to serve you, just to worship you, and, Lord, to serve one another, to love one another, to let your light shine that others in darkness might find the way. Not that they might see us, but they might see the light. Lord, that we might be broken, that the treasure might be seen. Lord, do a good work in your people. We're needy people. We have so many needs, but the world is standing out waiting for us. Although they do not know it, they're waiting for us to come and bring them the gospel. Let them know that there's life, there's joy, there's peace, there's hope, there's strength in God, there's salvation, there's eternal life. Lord, I pray that your people might bear lambs, might everywhere speak of the good things of God, might let the love of God and the joy in their souls spill over everywhere they go. Lord, I pray that we'll be kind to one another, loving, gentle. Lord, have your way with your people. Help your people not to struggle, but just to thank you, to rise up above all the troubles and just walk with Jesus. Quit striving to put a hand in you and just follow you along life's road. Lord, I pray that you'll give rest into the soul, that a heavy laboring, that if you get under the yoke with you, lean upon you, let you carry them along as they walk with you, trusting the almighty hand of God. Lord, I pray right now that every problem might be just put in your hands. You may say, Lord, I just trust you for it. Lord, if it's going to be done, you're going to have to do it. Lord, I'll do what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to trust you for the result. I'm going to trust you for the power. I'm going to trust you for the anointing. But I'm going to be able to take correction. I will not, oh Lord, get up and be defensive. But Lord, I want to just know if I'm failing in any area so I might be able to trust you and take care of it. So Lord, I look to you from now on, not to me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Couple of more times, the altars are open and the prayer rooms are open. A number of you just will feel like just hiding away in God in a secret place and just worshiping Him, just loving Him, just praising Him. As we sing it again, another couple of three times, you're dismissed to the altars, the prayer rooms. You have to go to your home. Walk with Jesus every day. God bless you.